American pianist Stephen Boyce is one of the star performers at the American Spring Music Festival currently underway in the Czech Republic. The internationally acclaimed musician, who performs with renowned orchestras and gives solo recitals the world over, has been described as a strikingly original, confident and gifted player with a rock-solid technique. On what is his second recital tour in the Czech Republic, he visited Radio Prague studio and talked about the joy he derives from music, the inspiration he draws from it, and the secret behind his ability to captivate an audience.
The inspiration I find is in the music, really. It's the genius of Beethoven, it's a genius of Bach, of Mozart, that inspires me. Studying this music and spending time with it, living with this music is such an incredible honor. It's so inspiring. There's so much to learn from it. And even a piece that I've played for many years, that I've studied, that I've memorized, I know every note of it, still there are more things that you discover. This music is greater than any single performance of it. And the more I play it, the more I study it, the more I learn. And it's fascinating for me. And I think as long as it holds my fascination, I think I'm able to express that somehow to an audience.
Do you connect images in your mind to different compositions?
Sometimes. It can be easy when you're thinking about technique just to worry about, you know, hitting all of the notes. But after that's sort of become comfortable, I do like thinking about sort of light and darkness and how they relate to emotions and how that sort of is incorporated in the music and how these black and white notes on a page turn into this, you know, brilliant array of colors, or how they can turn into that. Absolutely.
Who are your favorite composers? Are there pieces that immediately strike a chord, and are there pieces that you find it more difficult to relate to? And in that case, how do you go about mastering them? Do you try to find out how they were composed, when they were composed, in what circumstances, what country?
That's a difficult question. I have to say, in terms of my favorite pieces or favorite composers, it does depend on the day, depends on what I had for breakfast, depends on the weather. There's so much amazing music that it's hard to choose just one. But I do love Bach, I love Beethoven, I love Mozart, I love Chopin, I love Rachmaninoff. Scriabin is one of my passions. There's an American composer, Charles Griffiths, whose music I love. But, I mean, like you said, occasionally I'm asked to play a piece that maybe I don't love. Sometimes, I mean, an orchestra may ask me to play a specific piece, for example. And it can be a challenge sometimes to be interested in a certain piece of music. But I find that if it's, you know, relatively good music, you can find something interesting in it. I mean, why did the composer write it? Why was it interesting to him? Why is it interesting to somebody else? And sometimes you just have to pretend that you like it in an extreme situation. And there have been a few times where I've had to go on stage pretending that I like a piece. And I don't like doing that. And I don't often do that. But occasionally it is necessary.
What about Czech composers? Do you play any?
I played Janáček Concertino with the Hamburg Symphony a few years back. And that was actually a piece that the first time I heard it, I was confused. And I didn't understand what was happening. I did some reading about it, and actually it was a really fascinating piece of music. It was depicting different forest animals. One of them was a squirrel, and all of a sudden these odd little musical patterns made sense when you took it in context of what Janáček was trying to express of depicting these forest animals. And then it was actually a lot of fun. There's a great deal of humor and witty interplay between the different instruments, and I ended up enjoying that piece very much.
Your technique is incredible. How much hard work is behind that perfect technique? Because obviously it's not just emotions. You know, I've not heard you put a note wrong. So how long do you practice for, and how much hard work is actually behind it so that it's just note perfect?
Well, that's very generous. I would not call it perfect. But there is a great deal of work, certainly, that goes into getting the notes. And it's, I mean, it's a constant thing, and it changes with pianos because some pianos respond in very different ways. And I can do something, I mean, as well as I want to on a certain piano, but then I go, you know, to a piano with a stiffer action, and it's like the difference between running on a paved sidewalk and then running on sand. And you have to change your approach to it. And so part of it is learning to be comfortable with different instruments, and that can be very challenging. But
how many hours a day do you spend at the piano? How many do you practice?
When I was a teenager, I was very consistent. I practiced 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I did not miss. These days, when I'm traveling, I have a family, I have a wife and two kids, I don't practice as regularly as I used to, and I don't think I need to in the same way that I did when I was a teenager, but I like to do, you know, 4 or 5 hours on a serious day, but when I need to take a break, I will go several days without playing. And I think that is sometimes the most useful time that I spend as a musician.
You can go for several days. I was going to ask, how long can you go for before your fingers start itching for the piano? Do you mm-hmm. just need it now to live the piano?
Well, I do. I do actually need it. And when I say I'm not practicing, I'm still playing, but not the music that I'm currently practicing. Maybe I'll find some music that I've never looked at before, or some music that I've been, you know, dying to look at and maybe spend 20 minutes with it. Or sometimes I'll take my little boys on my lap and let them play, and we'll play silly little duets together. So the days when I'm not practicing, I'm still playing, certainly.
You started at the age of 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's awfully early for a child to, you know, to actually be disciplined enough for drills and hours of practice. Did you always know that this is what you wanted to do?
I don't remember a time when I didn't want to be a pianist. I think I always wanted to be a pianist. I mean, I started lessons when I was 5, but I started playing the piano actually when I was 2 years old.
How did that come about so early?
My mother taught piano. She taught piano in our home, and so we had small children coming to our house, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, playing these little children's pieces. And when I was 2 years old, I would go to the piano and I would start playing some of these very simple little things on the piano. And looking back on my life, I think the most unusual thing that I can see is that I was so interested in it, that I wanted it. Not that I was, you know, the most amazing 2-year-old pianist that's ever lived. That's certainly not the case. But the fact that I wanted to as a 2-year-old. I mean, I have a 2-year-old son now, and I don't think he feels that way about the piano. I mean, he likes coming and, you know, banging on the piano like any 2-year-old, When I was 2, I went and I wanted to play these little pieces, and I played them by ear, and I liked it, and I've always liked it. And my parents never forced me to play the piano. I have 7 siblings, and my parents didn't have enough attention to, you know, force one of their children to do anything. And so I did this because I wanted to, and I do it because I love it.
Many classical music performers try to bring the genre to the masses, so to speak. Is that your goal as well? Do you try to do that?
Well, I think it is important that as classical musicians, we're aware of our audiences and aware of where the future audiences will be. And I don't know how things are in this country so much, but in the United States, certainly classical music audiences tend to be older. And it's difficult sometimes to get the younger people interested in classical music. And not because the music is, you know, dull or uninteresting, but because they're not familiar with it. And it's not part of the education, at least in my country, as much. And that's a serious problem. But I do find that when you know, people of my generation in my country, when they hear this music and when I have a chance to explain something about the pieces, that, I mean, they respond. And I mean, not everyone loves it and not everyone has to love it, and that's fine, but there certainly is so much about this music that is thrilling and that is fun and that is, I mean, everything that you want from music.
At the age of 26, is it? You seem to have the world at your feet. You're widely acclaimed internationally. Are there any unachieved goals? What are your plans for the future? And you know, what are you still reaching for?
Well, musically, I want to be a better musician. I mean, I think about my friends who love sports, and you know, the great athletes when they're in their mid-20s or early 30s, usually that's sort of the peak time for them. And by the time they're 40, you know, they're not playing maybe quite as well, more injuries and things like this. And when they're 50, I mean, they're not playing basketball anymore, or at least not professionally. But in music, I mean, I'm still very young. I mean, the great Russian virtuoso Horowitz, he was playing into his 80s, and he was playing very well. He never played better, I don't think. In some ways, maybe he was more agile when he was, you know, in his 30s. But in his 80s, he was magnificent. And so I still consider myself sort of an infant musically. I have so much more to learn. On a more personal level, I mean, I mentioned my family and my wife and my kids, and somehow this is such a meaningful part of life, such sort of all of life to me. And I think that life's only going to get better.
When you speak about being a better musician, if you have a piece that technically is perfect, what can you improve upon? Is it emotions that you can, you know, do you feel that with time you can understand a piece better, or what would make a piece better after you feel that, yes, this is how it should be played and I've got it now?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't really believe in sort of the perfect interpretation or
of a single piece,
right? Of a single
obviously
piece.
But what, you know, how, mm-hmm. if you say a better musician, it, mm-hmm. where can you grow, or you know, where can you expand, or is it that you would mature emotionally and make the piece feel different, or you know?
Sure, I think that's definitely part of it. Also, listening better to what you're doing, making more interconnections in the music. How, I mean, even sort of the articulation, how connected are the notes, how separate, how does your right hand and your left hand interact, how does a melody interact with the accompaniment? And these things can be done in so many different ways. And I mean, also different pianos, different acoustics. It's always sort of exploring. It's sort of an act of creation every time you play a piece. And I mean, music, it shouldn't necessarily be the same every time. There should be a sense of spontaneity, improvisation, and creation every time. So I think always exploring and finding new ways and different ways to bring the music to life.